Okay, hey everyone. So I took a couple weeks off, I think. I was really busy on the weekends, and honestly, a lot of times on the weekends, I don't like to use my computer too much. But anyway, I'll try to keep it short. I always say that, but I end up going 20 minutes or longer. But yeah, for those of you who don't know me, my name's Chris Kowalczyk. I'm a ESL teacher in the Orange County, LA area, and I've been teaching English to non-native speakers for about 17 years now, since 2007. So that means teaching in Japan and also here in the US. So, this podcast is mainly for my current and former students, but if anyone else is listening, well, I'm glad you found me and I hope you find this useful. I'm just going to try to talk about some of my experiences living abroad and studying Japanese and living in Japan. And I try to use that experience to connect with my students. And for those of you who know me, I don't want to say I think outside the box, but I try to approach language learning from not just a purely linguistic perspective, like, okay, here's the grammar, here's the vocabulary, here's how you use it. But I try to approach language learning through the lens of communication in general and psychology and enjoyment and things like that. I had kind of a weird topic for today. It was learned helplessness. And I'm not sure if this is the exact term, and I know maybe it sounds a little bad. Maybe it sounds like I'm looking down on people. But the reason why I want to talk about learned helplessness, and again, this might not be the right term, but it's something I do notice a lot with my students and myself as well, I should say. The thing is, we have such amazing technology now, right? And especially the technology is portable, right? It's something we have in our phones, and it's essentially free as long as you pay your phone bill, or if you're using your internet at home, your internet bill. And I mean, you don't even need to have, an internet provider. You can just have a phone, and that's still connected to the internet. You still have to pay your phone bill, and I guess pay for your phone as well. But you don't even need an internet provider. Like when I was a kid, we had America Online, right? AOL. And so we actually had to pay them a monthly subscription, right? And your phone bill as well. And then now, of course, I still have my high-speed internet with Spectrum. That's costing me about $75 a month. I mean, it's good, and I need it for work. But I mean, technically, I don't even need to have an internet connection, right? Or a provider. I can just use my phone all day, and I can use my phone as a hotspot, which actually is pretty damn fast. So my point is, we have such amazing technology now, with Google translation apps, learning apps, and now with ChatGPT and other LLMs where we can have conversations and get all the answers we want. And I find it very interesting because I still often see students who will, for example, look at a piece of paper. I give them a piece of paper and they'll look at it and say, teacher, I don't understand. And I'm thinking, well, you can just use your phone to literally translate everything on that page. Because I know a lot of students will do that. They'll just hold their phone over the page, the handout, and it'll translate everything, or hold the phone over the book and it'll just translate everything, right? And then there are a lot of students who also just sit there and just kind of stare at it and say, teacher, I don't know what to do, even though the instructions are actually on the paper. And I try to make the instructions clear, I try to put them on the paper or on the screen. I know when I'm talking and when anyone is talking, even in English, my first language, if someone is giving me instructions orally, I'm not going to remember everything. So I do understand that just giving oral instructions often is not enough. So I do try to have written instructions as well and use my body, like physically demonstrate the instructions, act them out. But there are still a lot of students who will just look at the paper and say, I don't know what to do. I have this situation with my online students as well. I'll get emails from students and say, teacher, I don't know what we're doing. And I'll say, did you read my message? Because I send 3 or 4 messages a week giving detailed instructions and links and so on. And students will still say, I don't know what to do, teacher. And I say, well, did you check the message? And they say, no. And I say, well, go check the message first, right? But my point is, and I don't want to say I'm overly judge I don't want to seem overly judgmental or critical of these students, because I've been there as well. And I'm still this way in certain areas of my life, I'm sure. Like, I just feel hopeless or helpless. I say, I don't know what to do, right? I'm a single guy. I don't know what to do. How am I going to get a girlfriend, right? I don't have enough money to go on vacation. Ah, what am I going to do? I don't have enough money, right? So I think this happens to everybody in different situations, right? But I'm just focused right now on learning a language, but really just kind of applies to everything. But the technology we have is so amazing, right? And it kind of gets me to the point, which I think about a lot, is a lot of learning is not just, doing the homework. And I mean, there are situations where learning a language does become harder. When you're younger, of course, it's much easier. There's that critical period where, for example, if you start learning a language before 12 or 13 years old, you probably won't have an accent, or you won't even have to really translate in your brain. It'll just become second nature. So of course, like 15, 16, 17 and older, it's going to be harder to learn a language. And when you get to a certain age, I mean, when you become 60, 70, 80 years old, everything is harder to learn, right? Not just a language, any new skill, right? It's just the way your brain is working or not working as well as it used to. And that's totally normal. So those are, I don't know, biological reasons for languages being easier or more difficult to learn. So I understand that there are those limitations, those hard facts. But I still think a lot of learning in general, learning anything, not just the language, but I think a lot of learning is psychological and emotional. And these two things are not separate as well. We can call them psycho-emotional, perhaps. So, when somebody says, I don't know what to do, the question is, well, have you tried? Have you used your phone to translate anything? Have you asked the teacher for help? Sometimes a lot of people will just sit there and not even ask for help. You can ask a classmate who speaks the same language as you, a first language. So if I'm a Spanish speaker, then maybe I, even when I talk to the teacher, I don't understand the teacher. Well, as a Spanish speaker, I can talk to another Spanish speaker in class whose English is better than mine, and that's another way to get help, right? So I think this is, again, getting back to that word helplessness or even learned helplessness. I did some research into it, and just from my own experience as well, I think a lot of times we want things to be simpler. We want somebody to give us a handout that has, 10 blank spaces, and then you just put the word in the blank space, right? And we feel, yeah, I learned something, right? But when you're really truly learning a language, it takes a lot more than just filling in the blanks. Now, the teacher needs to do a good job of explaining everything and supporting you, but at the same time, you as the learner have to do a lot of the work, right? The teacher is not learning the language, you're learning the language. And if the teacher gives you too much, help, or it's too easy, then you're not really learning much. So, and I like I said, I think this can extend to a lot of other areas in our life. So maybe I'm gonna, I like to go on tangents. Let me try to explain some other situations so where I think learned helplessness happens, even in my life. So let's say I'm trying to, actually, I think I might be going really off topic here, but let's say I'm trying to find a girlfriend or get married. And I say, what do I do, right? I don't know what to do. I'm helpless, right? Well, you say, okay, what can I do? Let's go to technology because I was talking about technology as it relates to learning. Well, I can get an app, right? Download a dating app. And you say, well, you know what? There's not a lot of possibilities, or there's not a lot of options here, or I only have 20 options per day to choose. And you say, well, you know what? I can pay extra. I can pay a monthly subscription and get more options. Okay, and then I try that, right? I can ask for advice, right? I can go on the internet and ask and look for advice. The point is, I got to do something, right? I think I got really off topic there. I'm not sure where I was going with that. I guess I'm getting back to the idea of when we have technology, the technology we have today, and not just the technology itself, but the portability of it. So, for example, let's say 20 years ago, right? You could have, you could translate stuff from English to Japanese, for example. Okay, I'll talk about Japan. So when I lived in Japan, the first time was 2004, And of course, we had the internet, but Wi-Fi was still kind of new. Like, I didn't have Wi-Fi on my computer when I would live there. Did I? Eventually, I did, I think, yeah. But I had to, connect it to an Ethernet cable. And it was fast, but not that fast, right? But the point is, when I was outside, I really didn't have access to the internet. It was very, very slow and limited. So basically, even though, we still had pretty good technology back then, it was not as portable as it was today. So if I had any problems with Japanese when I was, outside the home, I had to use either my pocket dictionary or like a little electronic dictionary. The phones weren't good enough to use as a dictionary back then. And there was no like translation software or translation apps, right? I would still have to kind of translate it word by word, and I would have to kind of interpret it myself. Whereas today, in your phone, if you have ChatGPT, for example, if somebody says something in Japanese, I can say, okay, please speak into the phone, and it's gonna, in real time, translate that into English. Not 100% accurately, but pretty damn accurately. And so it's not just the technology, but the portability that is also such a game changer today. And the students, I pretty much every student has a smartphone in class. They have this incredible technology right there with them. And so I think one of the big things about learning a language is to not feel helpless, to look for solutions to the problems that you're having. Just like you would have in any other area of your life, right? Again, even if you don't want to talk to any real person, you can talk to ChatGPT, you can talk to Google, right, to get some advice. When I'm dealing with my own back problems, I have three spinal disorders, and I can walk. I'm not paralyzed or anything, but it causes a lot of problems. And so sometimes I'll just go on the internet and or ask ChatGPT, hey, here are my symptoms and what can I do? And it's not going to give me the perfect answer, but it's going to give me some idea. It's going to say, okay, you might have this problem, but you should go talk to a professional. Okay, well, at least I have some idea of what to do next, right? So, getting back to the idea of this learned helplessness. So, what can I do as a teacher, right? Well, like I said, the first thing is use your technology that you have on your phone. Use ChatGPT. A lot of students will ask me questions, and I'll kind of tongue in cheek, like half jokingly say, you know what, just ask ChatGPT and then ask me after, So, I mean, that's perfectly plausible. That's a perfectly fine strategy. It, because the teacher is not going to be there with you all day. I mean, I can be with you all day if you want, but you got to pay me, cash, because I don't want to pay taxes on that either. So, you know what? Maybe I should offer my tutoring services, right? 50 bucks an hour, cash. I mean, that's not bad. I literally don't have the time though. So I'm kind of half, even if you gave me like $200 an hour, I don't think I have the time with my schedule. I'm very busy, and on the weekends I don't like to work at all. So my point is, you have to take control, right? If there's something you don't understand, you gotta write it down. That's what I always did when I lived in Japan. I would write down things I didn't understand. If somebody said something at the post office, I would write it down. Or if I saw a sign that I didn't understand, I would write it down. If I had a question in my brain, why do people do this in Japan? Or, about maybe a question about the police, because the police in Japan are different in the US, I would write that question down and I would ask somebody. But now, in 2025, you can ask the internet. You can ask ChatGPT. But you got to take control, right? You got to take ownership of your learning. This is something I always talk about. You are ultimately responsible for your own learning. Even if you have a terrible teacher, you still have some responsibility, right? You probably, if you're my student, you're lucky. You have a good teacher, right? And the other teachers at the school that you're at are good too, most of them, right? Most teachers enjoy teaching. Most ESL teachers, I should say, enjoy teaching, and I think most of them are pretty good. So you got to do your part. Keep a notebook. I mean, I always had a notebook in Japan, a pocket notebook when I was out, and I would have, a regular notebook in my backpack, or, of course, at home, I would carry that with me. I would always write notes in there, try to get the answers to those questions. If there was something I didn't know, I'd try to find the answer and write it down. I don't want to sound like I was some amazing learner. I don't think I have a special skill for learning languages because I haven't really picked up other languages. You know, I haven't really, my Spanish is pretty basic, even though I live in, you know, the LA Orange County area. I haven't really picked up Korean or Chinese or other languages that are spoken around here. So I'm not some kind of language genius, but I think I never allowed myself to feel helpless. I think that was the key thing. I always tried to find the answer. And this was without the amazing technology we have today. So I basically stopped studying Japanese in 20, maybe 2014. So I moved back to the US in 2015. But around 2014, when I was li still living in Japan, I kind of lost interest, to be honest, in learning Japanese. I just didn't really care anymore. And I was at a pretty high level anyway, so I was still learning passively, but I wasn't really like a trying to learn Japanese at that point. You know, I was still learning a little bit every day, but that's just because I was living there, right? But until that point, I didn't really have any amazing technology. I still basically just had the dictionary and asking people for their help. Right, so it could be a neighbor, it could be a coworker who spoke Japanese, or a Japanese person. Some of my Japanese friends, I did have a Japanese girlfriend for a while, so sometimes I would ask her questions. But I don't think I ever felt helpless. I did feel frustrated sometimes and say, "Oh, I don't understand this, I don't understand that." But I never felt like I didn't know what to do. Like I would always try to find the solution. And again, you know, I think you could take this idea to any area of your life, right, where you're struggling. We are not helpless, right? There's always something we can do. If we have a terrible job, we still have a choice. We can leave that job. We can say, okay, I hate this job, but I'm going to accept it, and that is a choice that you make. But we are never in a position where we are not legally allowed to leave a job, right? I mean, I don't want to like use the word lightly, but nobody is a slave, right? People will use the expression, you know, I feel like I'm a slave to my job or something. Nobody is a slave, okay? You can leave any job you want pretty much any time. Now, there could be consequences, right? Like if you break a contract, there might be some legal consequences, or there might be some penalties, or you know, you're going to lose your income, of course. You might lose your health benefits. You might lose respect from other people. You might destroy relationships or, you know, burn bridges, as we say. People are going to get mad at you. Your family might be disappointed. You know, you may lose friends when if you just suddenly quit a job. But there, you always have a choice, right? You can leave those jobs. You can tell yourself, well, I'm going to leave in 3 months. I'm going to plan to leave. Or I'm going to stay with this job because even though I hate it, it gives me things that I need for my family and my income and so on. But I'm going to make a choice to stop complaining. And that is okay too. Again, what I'm trying to say is I believe we always have a choice, even if we say we don't. And I think this idea kind of connects to the idea of learned helplessness as well. Is that if we just sit there and stare at a piece of paper and say, well, I don't understand it, then I think we are making a choice. Even if we're not conscious of that choice or we don't see it as a choice, I think we're still making a choice. And like I said, this is something that I'm not immune to as well. I mean, I do this sometimes. I do feel helpless sometimes. Not hopeless, that's a different word, right? I'm saying helpless. But I believe that we always have a choice, and it doesn't mean it's an easy choice or that we're even aware of that choice. But I think, given today's technology, I think we have fewer excuses, right? You know, people say, for example, well, I can't afford to get legal advice for something or a financial advisor. But I mean, there's just so much information you can get online for free now, essentially. Even if that's not the final, you know, answer that you get, it at least gets you on that road, gets you started in that direction. So, man, I'm just kind of going all over the place here, but I think sometimes that's okay too. And hopefully you find this interesting, even if it's kind of rambly. Maybe, and that's kind of like what real conversations are like as well, right? They're not tightly focused. And this is something I'm just doing for fun, so I'm not going to make a whole script out of it or anything. But I hope you can kind of see the common thread here, the recurring theme, the underlying theme of taking accountability for your own learning and pretty much everything in your life. And that this kind of helpless feeling, I think a lot of times, most of the time, I think it is a learned thing. Because, if you feel helpless, then maybe you don't have any expectations of yourself. So that, well, this is too difficult for me, so I guess I can't do it. And then you don't feel disappointed because maybe you didn't try. I don't know. But like I said, so much of learning a language and a lot of other things that you learn are psychological and emotional or psycho-emotional. But I think with the technology we have, we really don't have that many excuses. So maybe I'll close with this thought. The next time you feel like something is too difficult, in regard to English, like watching a movie or reading a book, or even when you're in class or listening to somebody maybe talking to your neighbors or whatever, right? Anytime you think something in English is too difficult, or you find yourself saying, "Oh, I don't understand," I want you to ask yourself, is there something that you can do to understand that? To get to that point where you understand it. Can you ask a question to the person, to your teacher, to your neighbor, to whatever, the salesperson? Can you ask them a question to help clarify? Can you write something down in your notebook and check later? Can you use your phone to get the answer? Can you use Google Translate? Can you use ChatGPT to find the answer? Or your dictionary, whatever. Ask yourself honestly, is there something that you can do? And I'm sure that 99% of the time or more, there is always something that you can do. And I suppose you can make the decision to not do anything at all and say, you know what? I don't understand this, and that's okay. I don't care. It's not that important. I think that is a perfectly valid decision as well, because maybe we don't have the time or energy to try to understand everything, that we encounter on a daily basis. So that's perfectly fine too. But I think as long as you make that a conscious decision, and you don't just say, "Well, I can't do it. My English is no good. I'm helpless. I'll never understand this. This is too hard." I think when you say those things, I think that's more of a psychological thing or an emotional thing, versus saying, "You know what? I could, find the answer to this. I could translate this. I could ask questions about this, but I choose not to because I think it's not really worth my time." Then I think that's perfectly fine too. And I think that's actually very healthy, because we do also have to be mindful of how we spend our time and energy, because, as we get older, we have less and less time and energy. It's just normal. And that's something I find myself doing as well. Sometimes it's just not worth it. But I think as long as you can make that conscious decision to say, "Well, I choose not to, try to understand this 3-page document," then that's perfectly fine. Again, I don't know where I was going with this, but I thought, why not just talk for about 20 minutes? And when I run the transcript through ChatGPT, maybe it'll give me some kind of coherent summary that you can read and maybe take away something from. Okay? Anyway, thanks for listening. If you're watching on YouTube or listening on YouTube, please leave a comment, suggestions for future episodes, or any questions or whatever. Okay?